بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. The work of shaitan and nafs is to distract. Hence the Quran Sharif says, لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم. These things will distract you from Allah Ta'ala. You say the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, in other words, the obedience of Allah Ta'ala. So there will be a whole host of things that's going to distract you, that's going to turn you away. Sometimes it is your wealth, sometimes it is your children, sometimes it is idle sports. As the hadith says, مَنِ اتَّبَعَ السَّيْدَ غَفَلَ, that the one that pursues game, then he falls into negligence. That is, he also is distracted from the cause. So there's a lot of things that's going to be distracting you from your work. You have got a work, you've got an itinerary, you've got a cause to follow. You have been born to prepare for death. As I say, binu lil kharab. So your ultimate, your end is to prepare for death, prepare for the grave. From the day you stepped into this world, this is your whole cause, this is the goal. If children are playing a match of soccer, then they can be progressing if they know the goal. This is the goal, and we need to work towards the goal. In working towards the goal, they need to do two, three things. The one thing that they need to do is to identify the goal. What is the goal? Where's the goal? If they did not identify the goal, they may be scoring against their own selves. So the first thing that's required in the sport is to identify the goal post, which is the goal of the enemy, the opposition. So similarly, as you come and step into this world, into this life, then the first thing that is, that you're supposed to be identifying is, what's my goal? I've come in now. Is it eating, drinking, enjoying sports, moving around, getting excited with a lot of excitement and entertainment? So what's my real purpose in life? What's my goal? If someone didn't identify this, then he wasted his whole life. Whole life has been wasted. They say there was a group of scientists that boarded a ship. See, so now they had to have something to pass their time. So they thought the best thing is, let's talk to the captain and show him that we are more brilliant than him. So they went to the captain and said, oh, What's the level of your education? Well, I didn't do much. Somewhere grade 10, 7, and then I learned how to maneuver a ship, became a captain. All right. So you know about science, about the law of gravity and what else, right? Mathematics and all. No, I haven't learned all these things. I said, well, you have wasted half your life. Half your life. You don't know science, you don't know biology, you don't know all these things here, then half your life you have wasted. So anyway, they carried on teasing him and taunting him. They had to have some occupation to complete the journey. So they found the captain to be the right candidate. So they started picking on him. Anyway, now the ship came into very turbulent waters, difficult waters. And they had to all jump and swim to the shore, right? Shore is about 5 kilometers away, and they have to jump off the ship and swim. Now, around this time, the captain asks those people, those scientists and whoever educated people there, as in, do you know how to swim? No, we haven't learned to swim. I said, well, then you have wasted your whole life. I've wasted my half my life, and your entire life is gone. So we have got a lot of extras in our lives, lots of extras in our lives. And because of the extras, sometimes we confuse ourselves to what's the goal. It is a good thing that in our cubicle sometimes we try and ponder, work out, what is the goal after all? Is it accumulating money? If my lifestyle is at this level, then must I just improve my lifestyle? That's my goal. Or must I run around more in the world, visit this country, that country, build up more buildings, or have more investments, have a security plan for myself? What's my plan? So you need to ask yourself, and you need to ask yourself very seriously. When I say we need to ask ourselves seriously, don't we see that dead person, helpless, can't move an inch, a stitch he can't move. We see that before our eyes. Right? And around the time, sometimes we're also cooperating. Everybody wants to do something. Sometimes we're trying to close the eyes of the dead, right? Sometimes we will try and hold the janazah, right? And sometimes we will help in the ghusl. Sometimes we'll help in applying the ether. Sometimes we'll help in passing on the kafan or shrouding the dead person. Sometimes we are helping in lowering the person into the grave. Sometimes we are helping in putting the planks right. And sometimes, if we can't do anything else, that we are helping in covering the person into the earth, right? We dug up a pit, and then we covered the person into the pit, right? Dug a grave and put him inside. So we did all these things here. And then after that, didn't we think about life from a different dimension? Is all these things, in all this, what I've gone through, what is the end? And what I'm going towards? What I'm ending towards? What am I supposed to be achieving in life? And then you add this other fact to it, that it's such an uncertain thing. Death is such an uncertain thing. You don't know when it's coming, what age, which place, what time, which person, who it's going to take, we don't know. As far as coming into the world, then there is a procedure, right? First, the great-grandfather will come, then the grandfather, then the father, then the son, and then the grandson. So there's a procedure in coming into the world. But in leaving the world, death doesn't look at a procedure. It doesn't say, well, first came in, so you're first out. It doesn't say the great-grandfather, that you came first, so you must go out first. You can take the grandchild first. You can take the child first. You can take the father first. Whoever is decreed to be going, he'll take him. So it's such an unpredictable, such an uncertain thing. So the first thing that we need to do in our cubicle is think now, what's the goal? What is the goal? After all, I came here. I seen the life. I seen the ups and the downs. I seen respect and I seen disgrace. I seen wealth and I seen poverty. I seen health and I seen sickness. I seen life and I seen death. I saw births and I saw deaths. So all things I've saw in life. Now what is the whole goal? What is the purpose? So this must strike every person. It must strike me, it strike you, everybody must strike. After all, what am I here for? So your mind will tell you that, see, there is a basic difference. There's a conceptual difference between us and the non-Muslim. The non-Muslim, he doesn't have the belief of continuity. And because he doesn't believe in continuity, the concept of continuity, so he feels I must do the best whilst I'm alive. Enjoy the best, use the best, eat the best, go around the best, have everything of the best, have the best security, best comfort. I must have all the best because I don't believe in the concept of continuity. So this is how he thinks. That's his starting point. If you talk to him about the hereafter, then he'll laugh at you. What are you talking about? Dig up the grave, you won't see anything, right? So these are the type of things that he will give you. So now he's made up his goal because of his belief. His belief is there is no such a thing beyond death. When there is no such a thing beyond death, so let me enjoy everything as long as I'm alive. All right. At least he's done something for it. He had a belief of non-continuity, so So he didn't do anything about death. He enjoyed himself for the present moment. But now, then we analyze ourselves. We do believe in death. And really we do believe in death like this, such a serious thing that we say that life starts at death. لَوْمَ لَا عَيْشَ إِلَّا عَيْشُ الْآخِرَةِ As the hadith says, that life starts at death. Now, when I believe in this, that life starts after death, then what is the security plan have I got for that? For the comfort of the death, what plan, what security? Right? Because I can see now people are leaving, one by one they are leaving, and they're leaving, they're all alone, all by themselves. Nobody, no company to them. Nobody's accompanying them. One person late at night used to go to the Qabristan and he would make this dua. Anasallahu wahshatakum warham ghurbatakum wataqabbal hasanatikum watajawas sayyatihim. So Allah Ta'ala, change Allahumma anasallahu wahshatakum. You in the wilderness all alone. So may Allah Ta'ala make it comfortable for you. Okay, do you think now, you know, we'll be put there in that cubicle, like here we're in a cubicle, they also that cubicle, right? And the height is about the same, I think. The qabr height and the cubicle height, if you look at it, maybe about the same, right? About 2 meters, about more or less the same. So what a good thing to be reflecting over. This is the qabr, right? I'm here and the person next door got nothing to do with me, I got nothing to do with him. I'm all alone. Anasallahu wahshatakum. Warhamillahu ghurbatakum. And may Allah Ta'ala be merciful towards your being alienated. You are cut off from everything else. Cut off from everything else. So in this pitiable plight of you, of yours, may Allah Ta'ala be merciful towards you. Right? Now, in this world, when we want things for our comfort, then we do a lot of things, right? All right. Say, we bought a house, right? Then we got something for maintaining a cool temperature, right? If it's too cold, then something to make it warm. And if it's too hot, to make it cool. So for that moment that I'm going to be there, I'm going to be down there, then what have I got to see that the temperature is good? The temperature therein, it's good. It's just enjoyable, you know. I'm really comfortable in that temperature, right? Yeah, I've got something. I got an aircon, whatever I've got. I've invested in that, and alhamdulillah, I'm very comfortable. So for the comfort of that moment, that grave, the temperature must be just right, not too cold, not too warm. The cool breeze must just come in from Jannah to you. So what do I need to invest in? You invested in something, in National or Samsung or something, you invested, and you got the whole room, the whole place, you got it air-conditioned, right? So now, you know the plan how to make your home comfortable. The plan to make the qabr comfortable, that you got it at a temperature that you were enjoying, comfortable. All right? Then, in your home, you don't want it to be like a qabristan. You want it to be lively, enjoyable, right? You want some company, whatever else. So for that, people go in different ways to make the home lively, right? They'll decorate the home, and most homes will have a television or something to make the home look lively, right? I've got something as a pastime, something as for making the home lively, right? What I've got, I've got a television. Anytime I feel bored or something, then I switch that thing on, I feel lively again, and then I can go and rest. Now, the most serious thing is that in the qabr, I'll be all alone, absolutely alone. Then, what have I invested in to make the qabr lively, make it lively, enjoyable? The thing that will make me comfortable, enjoyable, is I need to have some good companion. Imagine you walk into a house, right, a state-of-the-art art house, right, it's your own home. But you don't have any companion, no wife, nothing there. Will you feel like sleeping in that place? No wife, 1-2 days in a hotel is a different thing. But as a permanent abode, you're staying all alone. Absolutely all alone. Imagine, wife is gone, she's gone for good. You're staying all alone. Or she's gone for, say, 10 weeks, she's gone. How you'll feel? So now, compare the same into the grave, you're all alone, and there's no companion. No. What do you do to invest in a good company? That whilst I'm there all alone, I got company, I'm enjoying myself, I got nothing to be bored about. So these are things to think about. You ask ulama kiram, they'll tell you that your namaz will be on your head side. In other words, it'll take the form of a good companion, good companion around your head. And then your roza is on the other side, that will take another companion. And the companion will be such as though, you know, when many people marry, right? As though they feel after they've married, ke hazar saal pehle mujhe tumse pyar tha. He feels as though he was in love with this girl, right, thousands of years ago. He can't trace back now, you know, where that loving, that starting point was. So he says, hazar saal pehle mujhe tumse pyar tha. So those companions will be such, okay, you'll feel to yourself that it was an eternal friendship. It was a friendship always, you know. And that is why when I say you become so bonded so well with your wife then, that you can't even bond with your parents as well as you bond with your wife. Ask any married person, 95% of people say, no, I can't bond so well with my parents as I bonded with my wife. Before your wife came in, then they were the main people, right? And the wife came in then, the poor parents are there, inshallah, I'll be khidmat, I'll get salam. But for the company, I need her. Don't you say that. Ask any married person, doesn't he say that? Or he says, no, my parents are enough, I don't need this person. For the companionship, you need that wife. So that company in the grave will be so great, so beautiful, so enjoyable, so comfortable, it will be more than a wife. Much, much more than a wife. Wife should only grumble before she sleeps, right? And this one here will put you off to sleep. Nam kanumatil arus. It will put you to sleep. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy. So don't you think that you need to invest in a company in the grave? So one is the temperature must be right. One is you need to have a company there. And one is you need to make that grave lively also. Like you've got a television, you've got something, got a garden, or something you've got around the house to make that house feel comfortable and lively. So what have you invested to make the grave lively? You have done everything. For a small television, but a big size one, wall to wall, so big one, to make it really lively. So you did a lot of things to make the thing lively, right? So what have you done for the grave? You know, and notwithstanding the fact that there you will stay for thousands of years until Qiyamah. When Qiyamah is coming, I don't know. Nobody knows, right? So before thousands of years, you're going to be there. Here, all right, 70, 80, nowadays people are living longer, but 70, 80, then you will just count your, you know, it's a bansel on a bonus. After 70, 60, it's a bonus. Whatever you're going through is a bonus. Amaru ummati bina sittina wa sab'een. So after that is just a bonus what you have got, right? So when you got that bonus now you need to understand that for the short life, so much of investment, so much of fights, so much of arguments, so much of wazifas you made for this comfort, ya mughni, the wazifa you made thousands of times every day. Just for what? For the worldly comfort, right? I don't say don't do it, but we invested ya mughni so much ya mughni, thousand times every day. Ramzan time again, we do 2 rakat namaz and yamuni 1,000 times. 2 rakats, read another 1,000. 2 rakats and 1,000. I don't say don't do it, right? And someone will do that otherwise. Hizbul Bahar. Just for the worldly comfort. Worldly comfort, everything is right. Money, everything is coming, flowing, right? So we did that wazifa, right? And how long are you going to live? 70, 80 years, right? So it became comfortable, alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala. And I don't say again that don't do that wazifa, right? Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying, proportionately, right? Proportionately, what have we done? For this, you know, it was so diligent, I have to do it, man, you know. That Hizbul Bahar, I must do it. Ya Mughni, I must do it. And for that, I must give some sadqah. I must sit in etikaf on such and such a day. I don't say don't do it, right? Do it. Because most of us, we will be good in deen if our dunya is good. And if our dunya is not good, then we are not good in deen, not good in dunya also. So for the relaxation of the mind, you're doing it, it's alright. I don't say don't do it, right? But it's just a thing for us to compare now for the relaxation of the mind, so much we did. For the relaxation of the dunya, so much we did. For the relaxation of the qabr, how much did we do? Is there any wazifa? Is there anything that we can do, we can invest in for the relaxation and the comfort of the grave? Anything that I can think of, right? Right. That's the third thing we need to understand. The fourth thing that we need to understand in our investments, right, then we think on a long-term and a succession plan, that my old age, retirement, annuity, and then after I'm gone, then my children, right, what's going to happen to them. So a retirement plan, an annuity, and a succession plan, we think of all that. What measures have we done for those that are coming after us, right? So now the same in the grave now, that I'm gone, they dumped me to the grave, they covered the sand, and they're gone. Now what have I done for my retirement plan, my perpetual succession, my succession plan, when I'm all alone? Then what have I done for myself? Because I see the world, everybody's hard-hearted. Everybody's hard-hearted, everybody's unmindful. They'll come first, they'll come on a Friday perhaps, when the person is late, and he's late, he's early to be late, it's now he's late now. So you'll come every day, then after once a week, then once a month, then once on an Eid day, Bakrid day, or you're passing around the Qabristan, then you'll come and visit the person and go on, right? So that's the relationship. So now when I am going to be all alone, all in isolation, then what plan have I got that the thing must keep rolling, the sawab or the reward must keep rolling? What have I got? What plan have I got? Have I got any plan in place that the reward of mine must keep rolling? I performed namaz, I did so well. So I made my children also good. So at least now I've made the children good, so they will do good and they are my reward. I performed namaz, I taught someone to do namaz as well. So that I did learn my namaz and I taught someone else to read namaz, he will do namaz and he will go on teaching and this will continue for me. Or I did something else, I did some sadaqah, some well, or something I did, and now this is to sustain me after I'm gone. After I'm gone, then I can't expect and I can't trust anybody. Like we see, we don't trust ourselves. After we're gone, we don't trust ourselves also to pass on the sawab. Our knee and dear one goes, and sometimes the masjid will make dua, but who will visit the Qabristan? Who will do it diligently, regularly at this time? So who will do it? So I've made a succession plan for myself also, that after I'm gone, there's something for me coming, is rolling all the time. In the night it's coming, in the day it's coming. Right? In the afternoon it's coming, at the end of the year it's coming. All the time something is coming. So the presents and the gifts are coming all the time. There isn't a break, there isn't an interval for those gifts coming to me. So what have I done for that time, that retirement plan, that retirement annuity, what have I done? It's a permanent, not an annuity, it's a permanent plan. What have I done, right? So I say that this dunya, the whole trick in this dunya, the whole mystery in this dunya is ghaflat, is to distract. That's the whole thing. The dunya distracts you, your children distracts you, your wealth distracts you. A whole host of things will distract you. Friends will distract you. What they'll distract you from? The main cause. The main cause is what? Your qabr. That's the main cause. So there's so many things to distract you, right? As a person passes away, and he's at the qabristan, you'll find silence, right? As you just buried the person, you covered him up. Now for a moment, you'll find silence. Everybody is in deep thought. And then after you covered him and a few steps out of the qabristan, then they start laughing and joking and everything carries on. Right? So, just look at it. At the moment like life came to a stop, a standstill it came to. And immediately you came to the qabristan, out of the qabristan, then your whole attitude just changed. In the qabristan for that moment, you were different. You stepped out of the qabristan, then you were different again. You think, why is it this whole attitude? You know, yeah, I had a different attitude. Then I stepped out and I had a different attitude completely. Joking, all that. So when I analyze that, oh, I'm joking and talking to make myself forget about this. That I don't want this death and this tragedy, this calamity, and that worry about death, etc., to crowd my mind, to overwhelm my mind, to overtake my mind. So I want to distract my mind from that reality. So I have to get into a talk, into a discussion, look into a paper, look into television or WhatsApp or something else, look into something to make me forget. But I'm making myself forget, am I bluffing myself or not? Am I bluffing myself from reality or I'm on reality? That moment that there was pin drop silence, that was a moment of reality. But the moment you came out, now, when you came out, you want to bluff yourself. You want to bluff yourself. You want to cheat yourself. So the right thing is come back now, you know. But I thought like this there. That was his turn, right? Tomorrow it could be me. And then they will do the same to me. They'll bury me, they'll dump me, they'll go outside the covers and they're laughing. And I'm all alone. I'm stuck there and I can't move. If I'm going to carry on like this, I'll be stuck there. And I'll be stuck there. Forever I'll be stuck there. So I need to think for myself. I can't get into the joking, into forgetful mode. I can't get into that. I have to get into a mode of reality. What must I do? How must I get that right? What should I plan? How should I plan myself? You see the forgetfulness. Just one thing Allah Pak has created and makes you forget. Allah Pak will create umid. Umid, hopes, expectations, concerns, some little concerns, some little expectations, some hopes, and it just diverts you, totally moves you away. Right? So we will say, you know, tomorrow is another day, life has to continue, start up business again now, the funeral is over, start your business. Right? Don't you speak like that. It's finished now, you go back to business now, go back to work. So that expectation, that hope, that hopes for the comfort of this temporary life, the hope for the comfort of this temporary life, the anxiety and the worry of the comfort of this permanent life, of this temporary life. Anxiety for the comfort of this temporary life. You are put into that anxiety, into that worry, right? When you put into that worry, now you threw that qabr, everything, death, everything behind your back. It's finished now. Now I must get into reality. But the most real thing is death. Because there's no reverse from death. You've gone there and you're not reversed. So what have you done? What plan? What security? So if we only learn to think like this, inshallah, I think 3/4 of our problems will be over. Where we have gone off is, we just cut off life from death and we see life, well, you know, this is real and we have to do something for this. We have to do something. If it is comfortable, make it more comfortable. It's relaxing, make it more relaxed. And in all that relaxation, then death just comes in. You can't say death, then you know what? Now, first, let me make all my dunya, my house, and my flats, my investments. Then when you want to come, you can come and take me. You can't make that type of arrangement with death. Death will come, it comes at any time. It doesn't wait for you to complete your plans, make your arrangements. It doesn't wait for anybody. It comes, it's got a time, it just comes in. So for this uncertain thing, unpredictable thing, you know, then what plan, what security have you got? Right? I showed you the levels of the grave, right? Then there's one encounter of Malakul Maut, the separation from the fleeting life, the separation from this deceiving, this deception, right? It's a separation. هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِ وَبَيْنِكُ. It's a separation. And at that time, now Malakul Maut is coming. In order to make that moment a comfortable moment, what have we invested? You know, we want that moment to be comfortable. We want that moment to be relaxing. We want that moment that we want to be eager, right? شَوْقًا إِلَى لِقَائِكُ. What we have done to make that moment enjoyable, to be eager, to be relaxed at that time, not to be full with anxiety. One pious person is in the throes of death, right? The Malakul Maut comes to him. So he said, for how many years have I been waiting for you? Where were you? See how he's meeting with death. He says, for how many years I've been waiting for you? Where were you? And if it was one of us, what we have done? Say, hey, you know what, Malakul Maut, just stand away. I just need to sort my business first. And then after that, you know, give me what, 1-2 months, round up things, make some namaz and all that. And then you come in. Now this is a pious person. He's already prepared himself. I don't know when this time is coming, but I need to prepare for it. When I need to prepare for it, I must be in a mood, I must be in a frame of mind, I'm looking forward to this trip, I'm looking forward to this journey. Imagine now you put all your luggage, right, and you come right to the airport and they say, no, the flight is cancelled, how you feel? Hey, what's wrong with these people? Hey, they must wake up now, what they must do? Don't you feel disheartened? Don't you feel disgusted? What's wrong with these people? What type of poor service they're giving? So you're looking forward to the journey. You came yourself, right, and looking forward to the journey that they must take you onto the flight. You don't want to be turned away. So that must be the level of preparation for the encounter with death, with Malakul Maut, that we're looking forward. Malakul Maut is there. We are looking forward and he's looking forward to us. Allah Ta'ala is looking forward to us and we are looking forward to him. So that is one other investment. So one investment for the encounter with Malakul Maut, one investment for the grave, for the loneliness of the grave, the wilderness of the grave. One investment to make it lively, to make it lively, to make it beautiful, etc. One investment for me to have some pastime in the grave, that I can enjoy myself. Like here, for the pastime, you got some television, whatever other recreation. Then one investment I need I need some good company. Better than the best companions I have, I need to have some very good company there. Better than the best, right? Yeah, you can't think better than the wife, right? Everybody will think, no, the wife is the best. But now you need someone better than the wife, a replacement better than the wife. That she'll make you, that companion there in the grave will make you forget of everything else. Even your wife will make you forget. And these companies can come to you right on at the point of death. For Fazail al-Sadaqat, the Sheikh writes about one pious person. So, it's about 2 days before his death or so, someone sees the dream. Okay, when are you going to send, the hoor comes in, and the hoor comes in and says, I'm his wife. Now send him, man. I'm waiting for him. I can't wait any longer. Those people on that side, they can't wait any longer to meet you. Imagine now, it's so irresistible for them. It's so irresistible for them. They're anticipating, they're waiting, they're becoming impatient to meet you, right? So what have you invested for that companionship, that friendship, that companionship, that loneliness? What have you invested? So when we ask ourselves, when we think like this, then say, no, hey, I need to do something. I need to plan myself. Then for Allah's sake, then don't plan yourself. Then you ask someone senior, how do I plan myself? What do I do? How do I work it out? Someone that's got experience, know-how, someone has got an understanding, is balanced, and he will plan it out. Otherwise, you can have one of two situations. Either for the 1-2 days, you'll become like a soda water josh, and then you will just turn back to your own ways. Or otherwise, you'll go so serious, you'll leave everything, and you'll get into a depression. So you can't afford to get into a depression, and you can't afford to get into a josh as well. You have to balance the thing that now I need a plan, but it must be a permanent plan. That I can balance it out, the world according to its needs, the qabr according to its requirement. So you see this dunya, the whole mystery of this dunya is distraction. So that is why they bring you into i'tikaf, to make you learn what is focus. Opposite of distraction is what? He's focused. He's distracted. His mind is wandering away. So what is the opposite of it? It's focus. Yaksui. Right? So one is a person that is distracted. So he's going to be lost. He's distracted. Now he's on the road. but he's lost, right? Is he going to find his home? He's lost. He's running. He doesn't know. The problem with many people is that they lost and they don't realize that they are lost. They lost and they don't even realize that they are lost. That's compounded loss. It's a compounded loss. One is, I know I'm lost, I'm looking around. And one, I'm lost and I don't even realize that I'm lost. Like you see the kafir, right? He's lost, right? Khasira dunya wal akhirah. And he doesn't even realize that he's in loss. Doesn't even realize that. And then when we are living with them, then we are following the same style, the same culture, and then we are in a loss, and we don't even realize that we are in a loss. You know, at least someone understands, all right, I'm in a loss, I need to look around. Find, look around, try and understand, get my bearings right, at least I'll come up. But now I'm lost and I don't even realize that I'm in loss. So some plan for this, some plan. Tabligh Jamaat got some plan. Let us go 3 days a month or whatever, go Shab Guzari. Provided you got the focus. But if you're using that 3 days or using that Shab Guzari just as an entertainment, it's not going to do good. It's not going to do that good. So you need to have that focus. See, one is distraction, and the opposite of distraction is focus. So they've got this 3 days in place. Why they've got it in place? To bring you back into focus. Shab Guzari, to bring you back onto focus. So if you're going with a focused mind, it will help you. But you're going there now, I just go there to meet the old friends, talk about some panchats and all that, come back, at least the night will be passed, not in, I'll get some sawab, you know. I don't say it's a waste, but no, you didn't do the right thing. The right thing is to get the focus, come back onto line. What I suggest, Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us a tawfiq, right? That an average person gives about 8 hours of his day to business, right? Don't we do that? 8 hours of your day, you give to your business. Right? Can't we just give out 1 hour for Allah Ta'ala? 1 hour now, you know, that for the business, for this temporary life, 70, 80 years, I've given 8 hours. That permanent life, can't I take out 1 hour with me, my wife and my children? Can't we think around? Right? I can't make it so frightening that the child becomes sleepless, but I can't make it so casual as though it's like a breeze in the park. Right? I have to create some concern within me, within the spouse, and within the children. And I say just 1 hour. Out of 8 hours, just 1 hour. Some kitab like Fazail al-Sadaqat, these stories about the pious, about the qabr, about the hereafter, about kinship and relationship, etc. Right? So some article to conscientize us, to bring us back, to conscientize. 8 hours we're in ghaflat. And 1 hour, only 1 hour, if we take it out, think about it, discuss, read something. Then after we have realized, then we make some zikr, Quran Sharif, and ask Allah Ta'ala for the protection. You know, Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to call his family and make dua together. There's a khatam or something, his own family, he'll make khatam together. One person is making dua, the other person is saying Amin. Then inshallah the dua will be answered. So you're making a collective dua. And in the meanwhile, what you are doing is you are building the yaqeen of the child. Right? You are building that yaqeen of the child. See, father's needs also, he needs to ask Allah Ta'ala. Mother is big as she is and as strong as she is, but she needs to ask Allah Ta'ala. Then we also need to ask Allah Ta'ala. So you're building up that yaqeen of the child. See, your needs, Allah Pak fulfills. But we have to do it practically. You know, today's lesson was so important. Morning sister, listen. Time will come. There's a lot of speeches, right? A lot of talks, a lot of articles, a lot of speeches, everything, right? But there's no application. The talk is gone. There's too much of talk, so much of reading, so much of information, as though it's so much of information. But with all that information, all that talk, all that speech, and everything else, but there's no application. You're not applying things. What a big loss. That we hear these things, we read these things here, we talk about these things, but then when we come to application, then we zero. We don't apply it like how we're supposed to be applying. So I say we're giving 8 hours to our business, to all the dunya, whatever dunya, temporary needs, we're giving 8 hours. Can't we? Our hearts, are they gone so hard that we can't even spare 1 hour? Then we got the weekend, right? Some will have 1 day off, and most will have, half of the people have 2 days off, right? So this weekend also, can't we then think of, make some mashwara with the house people, family, children, etc. All right, we got 2 days off, right? How do we make it more constructive? Right? 5 days or 6 days we gave for the dunya. Now this 1 day, can't we just give it for deen, all right? In this week here, in the deeni aspects, I went off. Maybe my namazes, I didn't do it too well, or someone's qaza, let me cover that up, right? So we're asking. Not shouting the children, but we're asking so that they can talk, right? Or I missed out on namaz. Or I made ghibat here and I was not supposed to be doing that, I need to correct that, right? Or my Quran Sharif tilawat, I was supposed to cover so much of tilawat and I didn't cover that amount of tilawat, right? So I need to cover that up, right? Or for example, I was abusive to someone, I need to just level the score, I need to go and cover it up, ask him for a mask and get it settled. So everything that I felt, I need to go and clear it up. Mistake I made, whether it was hukukullah, hukukul ibad, I made some mistake here and there. Can't I take out from that 1 day that we got off, or 2 days that we've got off, can't we just take out about half a day or three quarter of a day and get all the deeni things in line, just to get everything smooth. For the dunya, we did 5 days. 5 days to get things smooth, we got 5 days or 6 days. But for deen, can't for that 1 day that we're off, that half a day, we sit with the wife and the children, and where we went off, you know, where we need to correct ourselves, compensate, there's a problem here. How do we do it? And where do we go off? Went off here, and how do we correct it? Or it's a shirt that you're wearing, is it the right thing to wear? It's a clothing that we are wearing, is it the right thing? Or we're going to get into an interest, is it the right thing? Let's go and find out. You're going into a loan, is that the right thing? Is it the better thing? Is it going to be the better thing for our deen? Right? So we're thinking on deeni lines, wherever we had fallen short, becoming right, compensating, covering up. So in so doing, the loss won't be so heavy. But if you just leave it now, at the end of the year, now we're trying to cover up all the losses, now you don't know where to start off from. Because so much of losses we have incurred, like you accumulated and left it right till the end of the year, like you don't know where to start. But here, week for week, you know, there's a check and a balance. Checks and balance every week. Checks and balance every week. So many things you have covered, so much of mileage you have earned, and you would have been so much more forward. But a little bit of reflection with the wife and the children. But as I say, when we're sitting with the wife and children, don't scold them. Don't scold them, don't shout them, don't disgrace them, don't humiliate them. Make it like a friendly discussion. And they will cooperate with you. They will copy, "Abba, you didn't do this. This is wrong. Abba, you know, this when you here, you lost yourself. And for getting angry like this, and losing yourself, you'll get this gunaya. So you need to correct yourself." So they will correct you, they will help you. Right? And you will help them. They will help you, and you will help them. So at the end of every week, as though you have just leveled everything. 1 week came, 1 week took, 1 week at a time, and whatever the earnings of that week, you have sorted everything out. Next week you started on the fresh. But like this, in this way, how much of taraqqi and progress you can make. But all this thing requires one thing, and that is focus, yaksui. You're paying attention, you're focused. For what you are here, you're focused. The worst thing is distraction. The worst thing, distraction, ghaflat. And the best thing that can happen to you is that focus, concentration. Keep yourself on. You know, I need to be hands-on. I can't be remote. I need to be hands-on on this thing here. Allah grant us tawfiq.